Thank you, worship team. You put your heart into this morning, choosing songs that speak to the challenges that we face in our world today. We have lots of visitors here this morning. We're glad you've come to worship with us here as well. Here at the chapel, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount from the Gospel of Matthew. And this morning, we're in chapter 6. And Kevin already read the portion there for us. It's that very familiar portion about not worrying. And so I trust that our thoughts this morning and our conversation together will be able to have an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work in our life and to trust Him. So let's pray together again. Our gracious Father in heaven, Lord, this music and all of its variety is an expression of, Lord, trust in You, of confidence in, Lord God, Your mercy, Your grace, Your word, Your spirit at work in our lives. And so guide us now in these thoughts, these moments, as we look into Your word together here. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Kingdom living in a world of fear. Right now, life seems more out of control for people than it has for a long time. And there's a collective uncertainty around the world. I've just pulled out a few ideas here. Worry is flooding a lot of people's hearts and minds. Many people don't know which way to turn. And of course, we've just been through a whole series of conflicts here in our own country that are really yet to be resolved, but we saw scenes within our own land that troubled our hearts. And now, from the Ukraine, we're seeing images of war that I have never seen in my life, and most of you haven't either. We're seeing refugees fleeing, trying to find a safer place to live as they head west out of the Ukraine into other countries who are welcoming them. Combined with that, of course, we're seeing a real downturn in the economy. Inflation is rising. We're not even sure how strong and secure banks are at this time. And so what are we going to do? And then, of course, there's the concern that we may start to see situations even with food security. Worry's a real thing. God has given me a very wonderful wife who is extremely patient in most situations. But I have to let you in on a secret. If there's one thing can get my wife going, it's when her oven doesn't work. Anybody agree with that? Last fall, she was trying to bake some cookies. And I could hear her in the kitchen. I can tell when it's not safe to go in the kitchen. Those cookies were burning, 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 burning. Finally, I went to go see what was happening. And here, the bottom elements in our oven would not shut off. Cookies aren't made to bake at 500 degrees. I finally had to go turn the breaker off to make that thing quit. I got into the service technician material in the back, was reading it, studying it, figuring out, found out there's a term for what happened. They call it a runaway. Have you ever had a runaway? All kinds of runaways. But I suppose probably going to the truest form of that word, a runaway, is what happened many, many times over the years in the age of horse-drawn carriages and equipment. It's when you had a wreck. I want to show you a little clip this morning. This clip causes my heart to thump every time I see it, because I have had two runaways in my life like this, true runaways. And one of them, I was probably the closest to being killed of any time I've ever had in my life. But nobody got it on camera. So this here is a serious incident that happened at an indoor horse pull many years ago down the States. It was equipment failure. But what you see here is how that something in control in a moment turns drastically out of control within seconds. And terror grips your heart. But there's also something very instructive about this clip. So let's see. I hope it works here.
Stay quiet. Stay quiet. Stay quiet. Stay quiet. Just stay real quiet, everyone. Stay real quiet. Stay quiet. Stay quiet. Stay quiet. Just stay real quiet. Quiet. Stay quiet. Stay quiet. Stay quiet. Just sit down, everyone. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down and stay quiet. Sit down. Stay quiet. Sit down and stay quiet. Sit down. Sit down and stay quiet, everyone.
And it goes on from there. Is your heart beating when you see that? Scares me, because everything's out of control. But what I find instructive about this video, this little clip, is the announcer. The announcer. Stay quiet. Stay quiet. Stay quiet. Brothers and sisters, I believe that's the voice of the Holy Spirit in our times like this. Just stay quiet. Stay quiet. Stay quiet. Because our worries and our fears can run away with us. How many of you have laid awake at night with your mind going round and round and round, just like those big heavy horses in that arena? Crashing and smashing and bashing, and you can't get it out of your mind, and the thoughts just go round and around and around. The Holy Spirit wants to hear you, wants to hear you hear him say, stay quiet, stay quiet, stay quiet. So here in Matthew chapter 6, there's a message for us here. And it's really an invitation for us to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to take just a few minutes to go over this. Many of you know this passage well, so there's no need to really try to unravel it too much. But I want to look at it from three perspectives. First of all, the Lord invites us to release our worries to him, to hear his command, to hear his call for our lives. I believe as well there's reasons why we can trust the Lord that are presented here in this passage. And there's an invitation to realign our thinking, to realign our perspectives, to be able to trust in the Lord. So let's start off with the first one, the release. You know, when you read this passage here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said in verse 25, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." The actual Greek says, "Give no thought." Give no thought. Do not let your worries and fears run away with you. Give no thought. Worry is really a battle that goes on in our head. It's a battle in the mind. It's an out-of-control runaway. It all started in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were living in a paradise where every need was met. There was no need for worry. And yet Satan comes and tempts them with the questions about, did God really say? Did God really say? And behind those questions was this subtle seed of worry, which really went along the line, does God really see your need? Does God really care? And can he do anything about it? And in those deceptions and lies, Satan was trying to steal their confidence away from the Lord and chain them to fear, to shame, to sin, and to be able to control their lives through their worry about the lack of supply and resources. So when Jesus says here three times in this passage in Matthew chapter 6, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. He's basically saying to us, stop an action that has already started, and don't let a new thread of worry start. In these uncertain times, we can worry because we're probably not worrying enough, maybe even. But you're not being irresponsible by not taking your worry pill every day. But is that enough? Is that enough to say, don't worry? Will that work for you? Not usually. It is the command, stop, don't worry. But I believe there's more to it than that. There are reasons. There are reasons why we don't need to worry. And I want to look at those a little bit further this morning. There are reasons. Because of our master. The verse leading up to this passage, we looked at it a couple of weeks ago, verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Well, what is mammon? Well, it's basically money, possessions, wealth, security, guarantees. And Jesus was saying to these people, he said, you can't serve God and another system. It's either God or mammon. You have to make up your mind. Now, when we think about being mastered by someone or having a master, it brings us negative connotations, for we know the evils of slavery, and I've heard lots about it. But the truth is, in Bible times, there was a huge slave population who worked, labored, spent their whole life serving their master. And while it may seem like they didn't have their freedom, for many of them, though, serving under a master meant that their needs were taken care of. The master took responsibility for the slaves they were carrying, they had working for them. The master made sure that they had the food and the clothing and the things that they needed. Oh, yes, life was difficult, but they had what they needed. So when we're challenged, who will we serve? We've got to come to this conclusion that in order to deal with worry, we've got to come to this realization, who is your master? Is it God who has promised to take care of us, or is it the system that we're trying to find our guarantees out of? Nothing is out of God's control. The situation has not gotten out of his grasp. Now, eating the next meal and having clothing was a real concern for the common laborer in Christ's day. He says, why do you worry? Why do you worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will put on? But we already know from previous verses in this very chapter, Jesus taught them to pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. God knows, God cares, God wants to assure us that he will take our needs and care about us. So we have to make a clear and repeated choice. I cannot serve two masters. Who will master me? And the more that I trust in the Lord and put my confidence in him, he will take care of me. So there's the first reason. God is your master. Here's the second one. It's because God is your father. Now we know that Jesus uses this illustration. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? You know, where Jesus actually said, take a look, watch, look at the birds. Look at the birds. I tried to pick some birds that are familiar to us. Probably the one I like the best is the robin. All right? Just giving her, trying to pull worms out of the ground. Their needs are met. Birds are relatively carefree. They even have time to sing as they are about their task and their responsibility. So Jesus said, look at them. They're not building huge barns and storage. Their needs are met from day to day. And then he also said, look at the flowers. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And then he brings this thought. He says, are you not of more value than they? So one of the things that we need to observe when we look at the flowers and at the birds, though their needs are met, in this passage Jesus says here, but your heavenly Father feeds you and will take care of you. So one of the reasons why we can have confidence is not just because Jesus is our master and Jesus is our Father who understands and cares about us, but he also has promised to take care of our future. You know, we're obsessed about the future. We want to know what's coming, what the markets will be like, the economy, what the laws are going to turn into, what restrictions there might be coming, and so on. How many of you check the weather every day? Yeah, it's one of the first things I do in the morning. I check the weather as if I can do anything about it and as if it's going to really direct my day. Some of you might check the weather during crucial farming, agricultural times. But why do I need to check the weather on February 27th? It's because I want to know what the day is going to bring, what's going to happen. But you know, Jesus encourages us here that he has the future in our hands, in his hands. Coming after Easter this spring, we're going to start a series on looking at several chapters from the book of Daniel and then into the book of Revelation about what the scriptures tell us about end times events. And I've started to do lots of studying and reading and looking at these things in preparation for this series coming up. And I got to tell you, folks, I am excited. The book of Revelation looks like all hell's going to break loose. But you know what? God has it in control. And the more I realize that he predicted through the prophets the things that are coming that we're seeing right now, some of them sometimes 700 years, 2,700 years before we're living today, it brings me such assurance. God has it in control. The future, our future is in his hands. We look forward to looking at those scriptures and those prophecies coming up here. So, my thought in this, the reasons not to worry is because we choose God is our master. He promises to take care of us. He is our Father. We are of more value to him than the birds and the flowers. And he holds our future in his hands. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It only empties today of its strength. Don't cripple the present by worrying about the future. So I bring it down to this conclusion here. And that's, how do we realign our lives in light of this passage here from Matthew chapter 6? And this is what I want to just focus on here. When Jesus was teaching these people, he said to them, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? O you of little faith. My worrying betrays my little faith. What can we do if we're struggling with worry and little faith? Well, I think one of the things that causes our faith to grow is that, or one of the reasons why we have worry and our faith is little is because oftentimes our God is too small. Our perspective of God is too tiny. We think maybe he's sleeping, or he's not big enough to handle our situation, or we're actually hearing those lies that Satan was telling Adam and Eve and has told centuries beyond since then. So my first thought this morning is this. How do we realign and live? First of all, let's magnify God. Let's let God be big. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 34. And I want to read just a few verses from this psalm. When we read in the Psalms about worshiping and praising God, one of the words that's used there is magnify the Lord. And I've often thought, what does that mean to magnify the Lord? Well, I think it means to make his reputation bigger. To exalt him, to worship him. So look at Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. How's your magnifying glass? You know, I may have a picture of God, and he looks this big. How can my picture of God grow? Well, I could magnify his reputation, magnify his power, magnify his name. That's one way to make God grow, but what's the other way to make it grow? Bring it closer. Bring it closer. I believe we can magnify the Lord as we exalt his name and bring him closer into our picture, into our story, into our situation. And that's what the message of the cross is about. That's one of the songs we sang here at the end. It's the message of what Jesus can do for us. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He wants to save us, encourage us, lift us up, and carry us. Let's magnify his name. And then, let's put God's kingdom first. The first command in this passage that Jesus was sharing on, teaching on here was, don't worry, do not worry. The second is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I believe that means that as we seek the kingdom of God, it means we really seek the king. And we're putting God's reputation, God's purposes, and God's plans ahead of ours. Brothers and sisters, as we look what's happening in the world right now, I just have a confidence in my heart that God is up to something. And though we see end times events coming together, I also know that God is working in people's hearts. God is stirring in the midst of their concerns and their fears. That's one reason why even participating in this little Finding the Hope campaign where these little brochures are going to go to every single home in the Westlock area here. And I'm just really praying that right now at this season of what's happening in our world, that people are going to pick this up. And rather than throw it in the garbage, they're going to start reading it. Because it's an invitation to finding hope in the Lord. God is up to something. So as we seek him, as we enlarge our perspective of him, as we realize he's up to something, then our life has purpose and value again. It's more than just survival. It's more than just worrying about food and clothing. It's like, we are here for such a time as this. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Isaiah looked forward to this time. Daniel looked forward to this time. Ezekiel, the prophets of old. And we're the ones that get to be here at this time. Do you feel ready for this? Are you ready for it? What God might want to do? If we feel we're not, it's because our God's too small. He has called us, and he'll be here. He'll work in our hearts and our lives. Let's seek first him and his kingdom. Here's another thought I had. How do we align? I believe the Lord wants us to learn to be gracious in uncertainty. Gracious in uncertainty. The last verse of this passage says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Proverbs 27, verse 1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. For those of you who are visiting here this morning, we had one dear brother in the Lord pass away in his sleep early Friday morning. Totally unexpected. He was here at prayer meeting on Tuesday at noon, and we had a wonderful time together praying and reading the scripture. Friday morning, the Lord called him home. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, do we? But here's the wonderful thing, brothers and sisters, is that God gives us the grace to be gracious in uncertainty. We don't have to have it all under control. We don't. The Lord will carry us. The Lord will walk with us. The Lord will carry us through these situations. And then another thought I had is, let's keep active. Going back to the flowers and the birds. Our observation of the birds and the flowers is more than aesthetic. The birds might not build barns, but they're active all day long. Pretty soon, we're going to hear that robin chirping at daybreak. Pretty soon, we're going to hear the magpies making a racket first thing in the morning. They're going to be giving it all day long, doing what they do in order to make their living. They're watching, they're hunting, they're searching. Their day-to-day sustenance is secured by their activity. Think about the lilies of the field. There they are, growing out in the field. They're drawing in the sun's rays, the moisture of the rain, the nutrients of the soil. I don't think we're meant to look at greenhouse flowers. I think we're meant to look at... Yeah. I think we're meant to look at the lilies of the field, because the lilies of the field also face storms. They face wind. They face some abuse. And yet they bloom and blossom. In fact, it might be the very stresses of their environment that cause them to blossom and bloom even brighter. It's a derogatory thing to be called a pansy. But last fall, we had some pansies growing in our flower bed in front of our house that kept blooming even after it was freezing every night. Be out the next morning, and they're still there. They're still blossoming. Those little flowers are so hardy. When I think about that, the flowers of the field, about being resilient even in the frost that would kill most plants, I would not be upset if someone called me a pansy. Because it means you're tough. But do they have to worry about it and think about it? No. It's how God created them, the way they function, the way they strive, the way they're vibrant under stress. So my thought this morning in this is let's keep active. Don't let worry push you into a corner, into a hole, into fear. Don't quit your job. Don't sit around idly. You can expect God to feed you every day as you continue to be active in labor as well. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Apparently there were believers there who thought the Lord's coming back as soon, so they just quit. Paul had to write to them and say, if anyone will not work, neither will he eat. And then lastly, let's anticipate the Lord's return. Luke chapter 1, which is a companion verse here, are some thoughts. It says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. The Lord is coming soon, and we can be confident that He has this all under control, and he will take us home to be with him. So a couple of extra verses here. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How big is your God? How big is your God? My God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And he will keep us in perfect peace as our minds are stayed on him. I encourage you to take Matthew chapter 6. Spend some time reading it and meditating on it. Think about the birds of the air and the flowers of the field and the fact that the Lord promises us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The next chapter, we're going to look at this in a couple of weeks. It says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Let's pray together. Father, I think many of us have experienced the runaway of thoughts and worries. And Lord God, the unrest, the anxiety, the blood pressure, the sleeplessness that comes with that runaway. And yet Jesus told us, do not worry. And so, Father in heaven, this morning we come to you, and we, Lord God, hear your voice. We hear your Spirit speaking to us. Be calm. Be still. Be quiet. Sit down. Listen. So, Lord, we invite you to continue to guide and lead us to be a people who, by our faith in you, and our trust in you, even when life seems out of control, that, Lord, by our faith and trust in you, not only will you keep us in the palm of your hand, but that, Lord, we can give expression to the world around us of a trust and a calmness in the Lord's hands and the Lord's plans. Lord, I pray for every single person here. I don't know some of these folks here. It's wonderful having visitors here with us this morning. But God, you know each one. You know our story. You know the challenges we're facing. Lord, the obstacles that we are, Lord, looking at. But I invite you to be bigger than any one of those. Bigger than all my problems. Bigger than all my needs. Lord God, I invite you to draw us closer to you. Lord, I don't know how you will meet some of the needs represented here. I don't know. But I do know that as we trust you and call upon your name, somehow, some way, there is going to be an answer. Or you will take us home to be with you. And what a joy that's going to be. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. I believe there's one more song this morning. And then before we go, if you would like to stay for a few minutes, I'd like you to just take a moment. Maybe some people you're aware of or people you know right around you. Take a few more minutes and let's pray for the situation in the Ukraine and just for God's mercy and grace there in that situation. So come ahead, team, and we're going to sing one more song.
Thank you, Kim. The blessing. After you guys get done praying in the little circles and stuff, I pray that you keep today's service on your mind with everything that's happening. God has a purpose for everything. And some do have to suffer. And I pray they don't suffer too much.
You guys can stand up.
Yeah, you can stand. Sorry.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you.